don't panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. Don't panic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. That's Jeff. That's the guy who sings the song for me, says. So hang in there. This song is called Waiting. There's two versions of this song. Sometimes I do two different versions of the same song. One's usually about 5 minutes long, and the other one is could be as long. This one's 10 minutes. The longest one I've done is like 23 minutes. Don't ask me why, and it's a long story. Maybe I might play it just for a special one day, just play you the nice long ones. But this one's a 10-minute version, okay? This is called Waiting. And, you know, I do lots of music and stuff like that all the time. You can check it out on my SoundCloud page. You can follow me on SoundCloud. It's called Invisible Gardener. I call it Inner Gardening Music. You can find me there. You can find me on Spotify and iTunes, lots of places. Spotify, I'm just starting to put the songs up there. I only have about 8 songs, but I have about close to 500 songs. I have to pick the ones that people like. Some of them are not good. They're all good, you know what I mean? But some of them, people don't like them as well as other ones. So I'm learning, right? So today I have a guest that's coming on. He's a returning guest. That means that he's, some reason he's coming back. And his name is Robert Schoquist, and he likes it when I pronounce his name right. That's because Deborah made it real easy for me to pronounce it. Otherwise, I was looking on going, Schoquist. See, I would never pronounce it Schoquist, and he's gonna be on soon too. He's the director of Soils Solution over here in Camarillo, California. So, basically does these low water native ecological grasses, which is really cool. It's very important nowadays. These are efficient, cost effective, environmentally beneficial, and high quality plant and soil solutions that he works with. Okay, so he's going to be on pretty soon. We're going to be talking some more about his native grasses and ground cover, and a little bit more about carapia and some of the things that other things he's doing. And then the next week we have Teresa. I'm not sure how to spell his name, pronounce it. All right, Deb, I know you're listening. Whenever there's a pronunciation thing, you should do them for all of them so I can say. Otherwise, I'm going to say Nicasio. Teresa Nicasio, Nicasio, Nicasso. See, it's your fault, Deborah. You're supposed to have it pronounced. This is the way it's pronounced, and then I can do it. Come on, get it together. Anyway, she does what I call it interesting. It's healing from the inside out. And that's kind of like what I do, you know, healing the earth from the inside out, the soil, right? And I think she would have liked my body and garden show, and I might, as a matter of fact, I might have her on that show as well, which is here, by the way. I do five or six different shows. I call them different things because we concentrate on different things in each subject of the show. The body and the garden, it has to do exactly with that. The relationship between what's going on in the body, right, and what's going on in the garden. And I like to get doctors on it, but I also people who are in the healing business, because how you heal your body is very, very similar to how I heal the earth. Okay? So as she talks about healing from the inside out, she's a registered psychologist in Vancouver, California. Vancouver, Canada. Sorry about that. So she's going to be on next week. I think she has all kinds of books and all kinds of stuff. So we're going to be talking about what she does. And she does a healthy, let's see, I think it's healthy, healthy life. She has a wellness blog, wellness hub. But I think it's, let's see, what was I thinking about? Health and wellness is what she does, okay? So she does it, health and wellness, which is, you know, something that, you think if you're into organic gardening and having a nice environment, yeah, you're going to be into health and wellness. Okay, it's very difficult to be healthy and accomplish wellness if your environment is toxic. So I work on that, right? Okay, so she's going to be on next week. And so, Mr. Engineer, I have a feeling that because Robert is not talking yet, that somehow he... No, he's not. I don't hear him. I don't hear nothing, man.
No one's invited me to speak, Captain Andy.
Oh, you're one of those, what do they call it, stalkers? That's not a stalker. That would be that's somebody who stalks. A voyeur. You're a voyeur.
I like to look in the window at you, yeah.
Hey, Robert, how are we doing?
Happy Saturday and happy Father's Day weekend, everybody out there.
Oh, I hate Father's Day.
Why? Why is that?
Well, I have a son. And he tells me, his birthday's in May. He says, look, if you want me to tell you Happy Father's Day, you're going to have to give me a present in May.
I think he got it backwards.
I told him, I think he's got it backwards. So we've been doing that for years. I'm not saying anything for his birthday, and he's not saying anything for Father's Day, so we're even.
And for that, you disparage the entire holiday for all the rest of us. Fine.
Do you have kids, Robert?
I have a son, yes, 16-year-old.
And does he you know, call you and say, Dad, look what you did to my life? Oh, no?
No, I got a good one. This kid's amazing. So, yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, at 4:30, I'm helping run a baseball practice of his, and tomorrow we got a doubleheader.
Oh, what does he play?
He plays first base and outfield and then pitches once in a while.
So I, in school... I'm 6'4", so I've always been 6'4". And guess what position I play?
And you're lanky as heck. You'd been a heck of a pitcher if you had any control.
Oh, well, okay, so what would be your second choice?
For 76-4, first base, big stretch.
Exactly right, first base. So I was a good pitcher, but see, I did what do they call it, big balls? Those big, not the small ones, but the really big ones. Softball. Is it softball?
Softball? Yeah,
It's a big ball, right? You know, the regular ball is a smaller one, but the other one's a little bit bigger, right?
Sure, yeah, softballs are bigger and softer. That's why they're called softballs, yes.
Is that what it is, softball? Because it's been so long, man, I don't remember anything. But it was a big ball, and I was underarm pitcher. I pitched it underarm, right?
What? Okay.
I was...
Not sidearm.
I would pitch an underarm, you know. They would get the,
Did you play softball in like a softball league?
No, I actually I started. I only made it through the first my first year because it was an underarm. I remember it was underarm. It was underarm softball where you threw it really fast underarm.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, sure. Okay, there's that.
All right, so So, and then I, of course, I was a really good first baseman because I would be out there, like, reaching out there, and every foot counts, right?
Absolutely. Right? And you're, then, and you're then, a two-step tall guy, exactly.
Yeah, and then they also had me out in left field, I think it was, or center field, because I could, because of my ability, I could throw the ball across the field, one bounce it to the catcher.
Ooh, that's a valuable trait for sure.
So what happened to me was that the guy says, "Look, you got such a good arm. Why don't you, you know, do this long distance softball throwing thing, right? Where they have something where you throw the ball as far as you know you can throw it."
Yeah.
So the guy says, "Here's the ball. See how far you can throw the ball." I threw it out of the park and threw my arm out.
I was just gonna say, yep, there goes the shoulder.
Right, I threw it out of the park. He said, "Throw as far." It's just wham. The guy says, "And my arm is like holy," and I could never. And to this day, I cannot do anything with it. It's not so much the shoulder; it's maybe the under the muscle underneath here. I mean, it's like I said, if it was left-handed, you know how you can't do anything, throw the ball left-handed enough. Well, my right hand was gone, and that was it. I only made it through that one season. That was it. That's then I became, you know, the person I am today.
And the world was deprived of a softball Babe Ruth. Dang
it. I have five brothers, and yeah, they all play all those things themselves too. You know, we're all skinny. We weren't fat enough to do football. I did football. I got hit once. I said, "That's it. Sorry."
That's it.
And basketball, forget it, man. Forget basketball because you know I would always come down on my knees, and I said, "No, I don't like that either." You know what I did for instead of phys ed after going through all this, I did home ed.
Oh. All right, so that's good. That's where the girls are, so that's good.
Yeah, exactly. So what I did was I did I tell them, look, for phys ed, I'm going to kill myself. So why don't I do gardening? I want to do gardening. Well, you can't do gardening because it's okay. You can do it if you do home ed. So I went through home ed. The teacher said, okay, this is what you do, and I did gardening. I basically did raised beds and vegetable garden. My idea was, look, I'll get to you in a moment. Okay, this is my show. I can do whatever the hell I want to do. What I did was I did first year I did tomato plants all over the school, which is a bad idea because the kids took the tomatoes and threw it at the cop, threw it at each other.
Of course, right. Sure.
The principal said that wasn't such a good idea. I mean, on the surface it seemed like a good idea. You harvest it, you put it in the school cafeteria. So I said, well, I'll do cabbages. How bad could it be doing cabbages?
No, bro, you got to go to beans. Got to do some kind of beans. Yeah, a cop can repel a bean throw, no problem.
So my idea was edible landscaping. See, and that's kind of like probably was like the first people to do edible landscaping.
Way ahead of
thing.
Your but time, yeah.
Way ahead of my time. So let's talk about native. I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, as long as it has to do with whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, that's. That leaves the door pretty open. But no, yeah, I'd prefer, of course, to discuss, you know, the aspects of my business that people I think out there would be interested in hearing about.
We Why are you coming back last... anyway? Did you get enough the first time?
Well, you know, your promotion person, Deborah, who's wonderful, by the way, amazing.
Yeah, she is. Yes, she is.
She presented a good you know, reason why we should come back on. We didn't get real far last time because it's a big topic. And we were talking about, you know, water rebates and at root depth. And we just started on crappie a little bit, which she's interested in for her house, as anyone should be.
So selfish reasoning. I see that. Yeah, I got it now.
Always, bro. Yeah, absolutely. It's Saturday.
Hey, listen, you know,
right?
Did you get a copy of the last show? Because you can either – you can download it as
it's up on my PSA website.
File.
Yes.
Awesome. You have it on your website?
Yep.
Cool. So your millions of followers were finally here of me. That's again, I'm being selfish. So go ahead and tell me. So we were talking about, people should know who you are by now. If they have questions, they can call here to the studio. By the way, we're going to be going to go towards a video live streaming instead of just talking, so that people can see you too. And which I think is really cool, because then you see what you can do is you can have an actual video of your product. And somehow I have a little screen, right? And we can show that, too.
Yeah, I'll just walk around my yard and show them the crappie and the mofree and the different grasses.
That would be really cool. Do you have crappie growing in your yard?
Yeah, in several places. I'm trying it in shade, and I'm trying it in direct sun. I'm trying it on hillsides. I'm trying it.
I am frustrated. I am frustrated, not sexually. I'm frustrated because some carapia came through my hands and it left, and I have nothing to even play with or grow or nothing. But and this lady that you're doing the work for in Malibu, she likes the I call it Nomo, but it's not Nomo. What is it?
Yeah, the Mo Free mix. Yeah, the Tuskegee.
Mo Free.
Yeah.
The Mo Free mix. Yeah. She loves that. And simply by just watering just a little bit more, it's on a drip system, it's buried. It's still staying lovely and green. I'm surprised.
Oh, cool. Yeah, once in a while I would recommend during these especially hotter periods closer. You know, the summer solstice, June 21st, is the dirty day for all these native plants.
Dirty day?
You know, they want to be dormant.
What is that?
Yeah, they don't like that day. That's the worst day because it's the longest sun, the shortest night. Longest, yeah. Dirt, the hottest soil.
What day is that again?
Surface. The summer solstice, June 21st.
Yeah.
Yes, we're coming up. We're almost getting past it. So we're.
What does that mean? Are all my native grasses going to go, and then you have to wake them back up again?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, within 30 days either side is the danger will zone with them.
You wow, want to try. I didn't know that.
And it's not super dangerous, but you should up your watering when we have a temperature situation that coincides with that,
okay,
like 45 to 60.
I got to write this down. The June when?
June 21st, the summer solstice, big parade,
okay,
in Santa Barbara.
30 days. Well, we're already in trouble now as it is because isn't it?
Yeah, we're inside the window. 60s? Yes. Yes, we are inside the window. And so this is one of the reasons we came up with carapia, because carapia is the exact opposite.
Really?
Its dormancy is closer to the winter solstice.
Yeah, right.
So it's wonderful. It's happy. It's going crazy right now. Carapia loves the heat and loves the longer days, shorter nights.
I tell you, man, I'm falling in love with it faster. And I've only saw like one little piece of sod came through my fingers and went and gone. So it's like, remember, I got some samples, right? And the guy,
yeah,
that got,
no, I remember.
The lady said she didn't want the carapia. She wanted the damn. All right, George, what's the name again of that grass? No mo, slow mo, yo mo.
Mo,
you know what I'm talking
free
about?
Huh?
Oh,
mo free.
There you go.
Yeah.
For some reason, I got this no mo in my brain, right? And it ain't letting loose. Okay, it says no mo. No, stop
well,
it. Stop it, Charles.
Well, Andy. In the sod industry, if you grow a fescue blend, they're generally called no mo or low mo sods.
Right.
Because they grow very slow and they don't need mowing very often.
That's why
so
I got
common
it in my
fescues,
brain.
Like Chewing's fescue and some others, if they're in a blend with some red fescue and stuff, sod farmers call those no-mow or low-mow grasses.
Right. Right.
Our native mow-free, you know, when we started this program 12, 15 years ago, we were looking for ways to set our plants apart out there in the big marketplace, and Delta Bluegrass that grows these, you know, they grow about 30 other varieties of grass, lots of Bermudas, lots of...
You came up with this name, is that it?
So, yeah, we had to trademark something that was unique that no one was calling.
Oh, this is your trademark?
So, yeah, these are trademark names, Native Mow Free Mix, Native Bent Grass, Native Preservation Mix.
So
Native
I can't use them?
We'll give you permission, but it's very limited. So only on Monday through Thursday and Saturday afternoons.
I'll make some T-shirts.
Don't bring it up on
Friday. Like mofo, mo free, you know?
Whatever you need to use. Yes.
Okay.
Whatever mnemonic tool you need, you use.
Okay, so look, carapia. Okay, so why isn't more and more people use, especially over here in Southern California, in like Malibu area, in this area, we know we have a water problem. We know we have to conserve water, but yet we keep growing the grass that uses hundreds of times more water than the carapia ever could. Thus.
Yeah, no, that's the mystery, you know, to me kind of thing. But it's just, it's largely our fault in terms of getting the word out and letting people know of how easy this stuff is to plant and maintain.
Wait, what do you mean us, white man?
Well, you know, myself and the other people, the purveyors of this plant. Although you are now complicit as you are assisting with these interviews, so... Get a bigger audience, Andy.
I'm working on it.
Okay, well, there you go. that'll help us all a lot if you would just.
I got
that.
A good listenership.
No, but the thing I want to talk about is, you know, about a year and a half ago, our governor and many people at the top ends of all the water agencies and what have you, you know, decided to put pretty severe watering restrictions on at the height of the drought. And it looks like we're heading there again this summer, probably the middle to end of July. All the words I hear from all the corridors are that we're going to probably be to 2 times a month watering in many, many parts of especially Southern California. And
it's going to be a scorcher this year. It'd be hotter than last year.
Yeah, right. And so there are no ground covers out there that can live in that world except for crappie. There's just nothing else available that requires as little water as crappie does. I water mine about every 2 months for about 10 minutes.
Every 2 months? And,
Every 2 months, yeah. And I do have some on a south-facing slope that I have to water maybe every 45 days. It seems to get a little bit peakish, as it were. But it really does display and tell you when it needs water. It starts to curl up a little bit and look uncomfortable. So you
can. How about its fertilization needs?
It's what,
What are you feeding it, man? What kind of food are you giving
it? No fertilizing ever. We're talking 6 to 8 foot root depth. It's finding stuff underground that you didn't even know was there.
Excuse me. Hang on a second. What, sweetie? My wife spaced out that I was on the air. She had the people have the urge to come. What's the matter?
Is that George?
No, dear. I'm on the air with somebody else. I'm on the air with the guest.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
We're live.
Sorry about that.
No worries. That's the joy of live radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll hear the sirens going by and the helicopter when it lands. And
yeah, my cat's going. We're lucky today because the kids are not here. They live downstairs. They normally play on Saturday. So you would be hearing all kinds of stuff. And I tell, could you not do it during that time? Hey, man, no. And you won't believe. Anyway, go ahead.
The other thing I wanted to touch on regarding crappie, which is another huge feature that we don't ever really promote because it's kind of negative, but I spent a couple of days this past week up in the hillsides of Ventura working with some emergency management people and some homeowners because they're all very worried that their hills are going to be doing some major moving this next year with, you know, rain events if they occur. And up there in those hills over the past years, we've done a half a dozen pretty good-sized crappie installations. And it was more than coincidence that I would drive through neighborhoods and the only house standing was the one that we put crappie in 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Are you saying that because the crappie doesn't burn very well?
It doesn't burn. No, it doesn't. It actually muffles. I have many stories from people where like a deck burned to the ground and the embers fell on their crappie and the embers basically went out and the crappie singed a little bit, but the plant beneath it, the root, you know, system, that big deep root system that we were talking about, it pops right back up. And I've got pictures of like where a 6 foot hedge burned to the ground, the sprinkler system melted, and 5 inches away there's crappie and it stayed green the whole time.
How will you water? How do you water it? Do you have an overhead, or do you have like a drip or a subsurface?
Well, I just use I've just got a little
hose.
Rotator thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a couple areas I do just hose because they're kind of off areas I hadn't ever really planted before. I just wanted to see how it would do. I've got a grove of avocado trees and some citrus trees where there's a ton of shade and a ton of droppings, and nothing's ever grown there. But I tell you what, the crappie loves it. The crappie is doing great, and
it should be a really good It should be an excellent crop for interplanting amongst fruit trees and other things like that. Because as a ground cover, it would definitely reduce the heat, reduce the stress. The root systems will allow whatever rains and nutrition and stuff like that. It actually should be very good for other things.
Yes, no, it's a super complimentary plant. It absolutely is. And then the flowers, when it does flower, you know, they're barren. There's no pollen in them. So it attracts pollinators, bees, but there's nothing for them to eat. They saw the flowers from a distance. They came on in, and they're like, oh, crap, there's nothing here. So they go all around to other plants that are flowering to draw pollen, even plants they're not necessarily familiar with necessarily looking for.
Well,
it,
that's
but they
good.
Need energy to get back to the hive. So
you're just tricking them. You're
pollinate.
Just tricking them. You just trick them onto your land, and so that they can do. Normally, they wouldn't show up on your place, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't necessarily be attracted to roses that aren't native to here. You know, South African uh-huh. roses or certain kinds of fruits and vegetables that we're just talking about. But they will because they've gone there for the flower of the crapia, which is basically a derived native California lipia. And then their tank's empty, and they got to get something in it to get back to the hive. So they'll go. Grab on a dang near anything from
didn't you tell me that it's edible too? Because remember I told you how I'm doing volunteer work for this turtle sanctuary, and they also have goats. Mm-hmm. You think the turtle and/or the goats can eat it? Because they're on the slope. You know how Malibu is basically all little
yeah.
hills, and on the slope, and it's barren most of the time because nothing will grow on it. The carapia will just take over. And my only concern is I don't want them to die from eating this stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's, we know of no phytotoxins or anything toxic at all. We do have anecdotal evidence from people about different critters that don't seem to like it, like snails.
Snails don't like it?
Snails actually will make a beeline away. We've got people doing defensive planting of carapia around, nice rose or gardenia or other, vegetable garden type stuff as a defensive wall against snail intrusion.
How about if people were to plant them around their vegetable garden?
Exactly. There you go.
Right?
And then you got the pollinator effect. You've got the snail defense. You've got the super deep rooting, so it's bringing up nutrients that have been long still underground.
You know what I would do is I would plant them as a row mulch where I can walk on in between the plants. You know how you have a row?
Yeah.
Instead of having just mulch, you plant them as a regular. So they're a permanent... row mulch, cover crop, where you walk up and down, and your rows is where you plant stuff. And that would be excellent ways for deterring and to help the garden, too. You can do it around the garden. I bet you if you plant that in a raised bed, it'll take over the whole raised bed, right? It should be one giant carapia plant.
Well, it won't take it over, but it will cover if, other plants aren't going to get muffled out or anything. And you could put bender board around any plant that you're interested in completely protecting, because the crappie only grows to about a 2-inch height, so it's not going to crawl up and over, a physical barrier. And even if it starts to, it's really easy at that point to trim it, maybe once a month or every couple
of
months.
I like to see it around roses. You know how roses are usually barren underneath there?
Yeah,
wouldn't that be nice?
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be very good look. And then, the like I said again, you're preserving water because there's less dehydration instead of the sun baking that just bare soil.
Right.
It's hitting the crappie. You're bringing all the coolness up because of all that deep, deep, deep rooting. The temperature of the plant when it's 100 degrees outside, the plant's only like 65 because all the roots are way down underground where it's definitely cooler.
I got two customers that should be listening to this, and I'm going to refer them to it because they both have a very similar problem is that they – can't seem to grow anything on their ground cover, yet they want to, they're being told by the city, you don't have a lawn, don't do any of this stuff, don't water turn. Mm-hmm. So she turned her water off basically in the backyard, and there's nothing there growing.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, why don't you grow carapia? And she should have contacted you because I've given her a number like a billion times, and I'm going there Thursday again, and I'm going to say the same thing. And I told her, buy the sod. And you don't have to lay it all down. You just cut into smaller pieces and plant the thing. And you'd be surprised how soon that would be that soil, because it bakes there. It bakes. It's so hot. The fruit trees are having a hard time. And the vegetable garden is covered with snails and all kinds of stuff.
I think she'd be amazed. Absolutely. This sounds like And it is funny. When I was first introduced to the plant years ago, and they told me about all these attributes that we've discovered more since then, I was like, there's just no way. There's no way there's a plant like this. You've got to be kidding me. And now since I've had it in my yard, I've had it under different stress conditions. I've done every torturous thing I can do, and it keeps bouncing back. And we've got thousands of installations, so we've got stories, almost every day people call me and you're going to believe my crappie did. We have people who bought it and as they were trimming, they got scraps and they just kind of stuffed them off to the side of their yard in an old gravel area and they don't do anything. And then like a month later, they walk out there thinking, oh, we're just going to clean this up and put them in the recycle and get rid of it. And the entire area is a mound of carapia. It's the healthiest.
So Robert, I have another customer. I bet you I can. What's the minimum order you would deliver the stuff?
250 square feet.
250 square feet. That's not a whole lot, is it, right?
No, that's 10 by 25. That's like half a front yard. Half a front.
Cool. Why
that's
don't
like
you...
a hell strip. Front of house.
Can you talk prices?
Sure.
What is it? 250 square feet.
Because it's
going to Brentwood.
Based on the square foot. Pardon me?
It'll be going to Brentwood.
Brentwood, yeah, we have a lot of business in Brentwood, but the pricing is staggered. You know, we'd rather harvest a bigger chunk than a bunch of little chunks because it's harder on everything around. You're bringing the harvest.
Oh, is that what you do? You like to sell people? You just harvest them as you need it.
Yes, exactly. We cut it in rolls.
I would love to go to your sod farm and see it growing in a big field.
Oh, Andy, I've invited you 1,000 times. I'd love to get you up to Delta Bluegrass. They do a wonderful tour. In the spring, they actually do field days, and there's several days where they've got a barbecue. And,
so they have the carapia there and everything?
Oh, acres and acres and acres and acres. And then they've got
they
a beautiful demo. Well, it's up in Stockton is the thing. We'd have to take your company jet.
Oh, cow. I could take my helicopter
the
out there.
Invisible Gardner biplane. Don't you have a biplane?
No, I have a helicopter. I have a nice motorcycle. I could go drive over there.
That's a nice ride to Stockton, for
but
sure. Right
maybe what I'll do is I'll take my drone over there and then just let the drone look around.
I like the way you're thinking. Virtual Andy. Virtual Andy.
What is armored concrete cloth? That sounds like
a heavy
duty.
Well, that's the other thing I really wanted to spend some time with today, because your this week's blog about gophers.
Yeah.
I loved your first suggestion, which is build a moat around your property and fill it with water and alligators. They could use concrete cloth for that moat, be very inexpensive, really quick to put down, and then instead of alligators, maybe put in, you know, salamanders or something mean looking like that. And
So what I've done before is I actually dug a moat about maybe 2 feet, 3 feet wide and about 4 feet, 5 feet deep. And then I've done several different variations of things that go in. At once I would, one customer, I filled it up with rocks, right? And it made a little wall on top. So the gophers won't go down too deep. So they hit the rock. Another variation was that I would, get to the gopher wire, you know, that gopher wire mesh will go down in there.
Sure.
But your cloth thing seems like a much easier scenario than to, because you dig down a little trench and you put your, what kind of cloth is that the gophers can't go through?
Well, it's called concrete cloth. It's manufactured by Millikan Industries. Millikan is a monstrous textile manufacturing company. They do miles and miles of commercial carpet. And they do like the scrim for duct tape, and they do all kinds of Under Armour fabric was invented by them for the military, and it was military use only for a number of years. And then they licensed it to Under Armour and Nike and Columbia. The polyester wicking fabric, that's their invention. They've got thousands and thousands of patents. They're just an amazing, innovative company.
So the gophers can't bite through this?
No, what this is it's a material that comes in three different thicknesses. It comes on a roll. It looks like a really dirty piece of carpet when you unroll it because a little bit of dust comes off and stuff. But you wet it with a little bit of water after you've put it on the ground, and it takes the shape
hard?
Of your boat or your – pardon me?
And it gets hard?
Well, you water with a little bit of water, and it hardens to twice as hard as a sidewalk, 5,500 PSI.
Whoa.
Sidewalks are about 2,500 PSI.
Why can't you build a raised bed out of it?
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah, beautiful idea for it. Yeah. We've done a lot of that kind of thing. But, you know, it's mostly water diversion, water. There's a guy right up the street from you on Canaan who has built a stunning stream waterfall system behind he had a straight-up hill behind his house.
I bet you can, sure.
And,
you can just shape it while it's still wet. You shape it, and then when it dries, there you go. There's your thing.
Boom. Yeah, well, in the surface of it, to keep the cement in the material, they use a very, very, very tightly stitched polyester fabric that they make. But it's polyester fabric, which means you can stain it any color you want to. So you can use, you know, the U.S. Forest Service does miles of this stuff, and they stain it either a light tan or a gray and green, and they even do some camouflaging kind of.
Is it waterproof when it dries?
100%, yeah.
So I can make a pool out of it.
Oh yeah, we have. There's a guy, a company in Central America, in Mexico, that does tilapia farms, 40 foot deep by about 80 foot long. They basically, when they're empty, they look like a huge swimming pool. And they grow their tilapia in there for commercial sale.
So now tell me about this concrete claw thing. I'm going to have to go back to my book, edit and put it in there, because it sounds like, you know, because I tell people you just have to buy the gopher wire. There's no other way around it. You're going to have to do some kind of physical barrier to keep him out. Because I do the plants which work over a period of time, you know, the society garlic or the paper white narcissus are toxic. But those take years and years and years to develop a nice barrier, you know. Yeah.
Exactly, and you'll lose many of them along the way. And now that, like you said in your article, that's a doorway in. They'll just go any time there's a gap. They know where it is, and
they know where it is. But this should be
so.
Very
if you put a little barrier wall down, you know, maybe a 12-inch deep barrier wall of this stuff, which would take a minute to do. You can just take a pick and make a trench and put it in there and wet it, and boom, you're done. Yeah. Now nothing below ground is coming in. You know what you do above ground. We're on a couple of templates for the Mexican border wall projects they keep talking about.
Oh, you know, that would be interesting. You put it on a wall, you mean?
down on the ground to stop tunneling. And we just a bunch of different construction things, and it's got a bit. You know, just it's got so many. Things that it will do and that it can do. Caltrans is starting to use it all over the place. The local one up here is using it for mud diversion and water.
I know if I had property, right, and I would buy like rows of this stuff and just start putting it down everywhere. I would make a fence out of it, waterfall, water catchment system seems like a really cool idea to make it so you can catch the rain, you know. One of the things I want to do is do like below ground storage systems. So you catch the rain instead of having tanks sitting on top. It's buried, and you basically need something that you can use down in there to mold what you want. And then when it should harden nice, and you have pumping system, you know, to pump the water through. It seems like this when it gets wet, and if it gets wet again, does it melt again, or does it stay hard once it gets?
No, once it hardens, it's good for about 70 years.
Nice. And I bet you that you could do that for housing too, right? For if you build a house somehow, you know, you could.
We've done several hillside properties that have lost dirt due to rain and erosion, and you know, maybe a fire came in, wiped out the plants. Now the root systems are gone. The hill starts to erode, so they put this down from the house, almost like a flashing, to preserve the ground, and then we plant deep rooting plants like crapia or bougainvilleas or different other plants that then sprawl across the concrete cloth and make it look like more of a natural native plant covered sort of an area.
You know what I would do? One of the things I would do with this stuff is I would build a I was trying to build a house of hay bales of hay, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a wall. Yep. You could put this stuff as your outer wall. Or a boat, you know, have it so that you have maybe an inner wall and outer wall, so that the inner middle part is the hay, and that would the house would stay cool and never get hot, never get cold.
And by the way, it's completely fireproof and tested to 6,000 degrees.
Won't
melt.
That's even better, especially around here. You could use it for the walls of your house or different parts of the roof, or other things that when the fire comes through, you have better. Because one of the things I would do is be like geodesic dome type of structure, right?
Yeah, it would be very easy. That's a great idea. Yeah.
Couldn't you cut it's dry, when it's in that form? You could cut it into whatever shape you wanted to, right?
Oh, with a scissors or a box cutter. Yeah, super easy. Before water's added, it's very, very easy to manipulate.
So you see the geodesic dome, how they have the little triangle shapes that hold it together?
Yeah.
I would cut them up in triangle shape, put it on there, wet it, put it on there. It will probably be the whole thing could be covered that way, except for where you want to have windows and so forth. And the fire, and of course, it's windproof too.
absolutely, yeah, for sure. And then you could stain it whatever to match into the surrounding hillsides, and no one would even know. Andy was there. I was at one of the properties I was at this week, as I was telling you, in the Ventura Hillside. They've had to come in and put in. I don't even want to know, 20,000 sandbags maybe. They've got these obstruction dissipation walls, and they've got these channel directional things, but the sandbags are already rotting because of the sun, you know, because they just don't last very long, and they were put in, you know, last winter. And so they were just talking to a guy when I got there about taking out all these sandbags and then bringing in new sandbags. And I said, whoa, 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 here's what we're going to do. We're just going to drape your existing sandbag walls because they're all sturdy. They're double deep bag, you know.
With the cloth.
We're going to drape it with concrete cloth. Now they're a permanent, you know, fixture there.
And it's much better than just doing the cloth by itself.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, way less expensive and way, way, way sturdier, and you're done. And then
you get the bags, you put them down, and then you put the cloth over it, and you have a permit. You probably, you know, the Egyptian would have loved you. Hey, I got an idea. When we build this pyramid, this is making a shape, but let's get the cloth and put the cloth over it. We don't have to dig up those big rocks, right? Just cover it.
Call that Robert guy. Tell him we have beer, because that's how they did it. You know, they had beer. So, yeah.
It seems like a wonderful product that more and more people should really know about, because it's like, I've never heard of it before. You know, never heard of ground armoring.
Yeah, it's kind of new to the market, and we are the last. It's so funny. It originated in England, and the original aspect of it was in the early 2000s, the British Air Force wanted a stable area to land their Harrier jump jets out in the middle of the desert. You know, these were for the desert campaigns against.
They used the cloth as a runway.
So textile guys came up with this stuff that the guys could drop down out of a helicopter. They could have just one backpack full of empty sandbags, fill it with the sand, pile them up, drape the concrete cloth, wet it out of their canteens, and by the next day, they had a defensive barrier that would take, you know, a machine gun fire and not penetrate. And they could put down a platform of this and land helicopters and these jump jets on. And so that's how it started back then. And then it spread into the commercial sector and then the residential sector over there. And we didn't really get it until about 2013, 2014. It was the first time they shipped any over here. And Milliken saw it and said, we want to buy the company. This stuff's amazing. The smart textile dude said, you know what, we'll license it to you. We don't want to sell the company. We think this thing has a lot of potential, which was very smart of them because they now have plants in like 7 countries and they're selling all over the world. But for North America, Milliken is the way that you get it. And ours has been changed to meet EPA standards for all sorts of things. And the sizing is not metric.
People can buy it by the roll then?
Yeah, I stock it here in my Camarillo warehouse. You can buy rolls that are 30 foot by about.
Do you have any videos of people doing this?
Tons of videos. If you go up on YouTube and just put in concrete cloth, you won't believe it. There's thousands of videos. They're in Spanish and they're in English and they're in Portuguese and they're in French and German because they're from all over. It's huge in Russia. Russia is one of the largest markets for this stuff.
Because of the weather environment or because it's so easy to use?
Yeah, because the weather environment, they get very small windows where they can actually do any kind of construction work. And so being able to get in and get out, you know, is super important. And it's pretty, you know, inexpensive, cheap compared to their availability to get, you know, concrete. There's not a lot of concrete plants, you know, close to places where they need it. There's a big airport that's a combined military commercial airport called Mirny Field, Mirny. It has like 30 runways, and concrete cloth is all over that as catch basins and water retention.
You can never tell it's concrete cloth, right? Once it gets
especially if you stain it, you wouldn't have any idea. We did a kind of a famous project up in Goleta a number of years ago where a guy lost a slope during some heavy wave action, and the bottom of his deck was exposed, and the Coastal Commission wanted to tear the deck down because they were worried it was going to fall down this 70-foot slope onto the beach where people bring their dogs and walk. It's a popular walking beach. And so his engineering company called me and asked about the concrete cloth. So we went in, and we just basically cut sheets to size, slid them down the hill. We had guys that were tied off that had rappelled down, and they were pounding it into the hill just as a veneer, just as a surface veneer to stop the wave action from, you know, penetrating the very erosive slope. And we did it on a Saturday morning, and we covered about, I think it was 180 feet by about 40 feet in, you know, 3-4 hours. And there a kind of a windstorm came up for the next couple of days, and just the wind blowing on the surrounding hill and putting dust across it, it became the color of the slope. And the Coastal Commission inspection boat, it came by a couple weeks later and took pictures, and they couldn't, they said, well, it doesn't look like it's getting any worse. So it looks like you're okay for now. You don't have to tear the deck down, but we're going to be monitoring. If we see any more slope loss at the base, you know, we're going to be calling you. And that was a couple years ago, and they haven't had any more problem. But
lots of uses,
we didn't necessarily tell them what we had done or what was going on. And that's another nice thing about concrete cloth is you don't need any permits because it's not considered a building, a structural thing. And there's no, like with concrete, you gotta cut out a place and you gotta form it and you gotta put in rebar.
There's obviously lots and lots of uses all across the United States here that people can, once they catch on to this and how to use it well, you know, that it'd be a big boon, especially like along the coast here, you know, for sure.
Well, you know, and it's changed, you know, back 10, 15 years ago, farmers were told to recharge the groundwater with the tailwater coming off of their field. And so they dug all these, you know, drainage ditches just out of the local dirt, to Z ditches, and they have to clean them out every year or multiple times a year. Now they don't want them to recharge. They want the water to be directed to a containment area for reuse. Don't put it back in the ground. You know, keep it away from groundwater because they found out lots of bad stuff goes down when they do that. And so the least expensive, quickest way to line, you know, irrigation ditches and swales is this concrete cloth. So we're selling a lot of it for that, you know, that kind of thing. And that's true with any, you know, landowners or, you know, avocado farmers, people that have any kind of good sized farm. This stuff is just an amazing solution for that to hard armor and protect, and you know, no more dredging, no more clean out, you know.
That's a problem in Ojai and a lot of places too, because they're going to have to learn to start catching the water and keeping it. They're going to have to learn how to do that. That's the future because, you know, it rains enough, but you just don't catch it, don't hold it, and it's gone. And then within a month you go, boy, I wish I had some of that rain, right?
Yep. No, and you use this to do diversion ditches into an underground containment system like you described, just to get a scavenger pump to pump it out when you need it. And what a simple, easy, relatively permanent method. And guess what? It's fireproof. So you now put a barrier around your property that's completely fireproof, right? So, so there's a you know, it's kind of a change of thinking, paradigm shift kind of a product, which has been the good and the bad of it, you know, because no one's calling me or what they weren't, you know, years ago saying, hey, you got in that concrete cloth. I am getting calls now because there's a lot of it down. San Diego County Parks has been using it. We've got several big landfills. Tolan Landfill out in Santa Paula is about to do a huge project. They've done three smaller projects over the past couple of years out there, diverting water and doing different things with it. But they're
why aren't the cities doing it in the state?
You know, it's the funniest thing, Andy. I went to the Ventura County Roads group, and I did what we call a lunch and learn, where I bought lunch for about 30 engineers and designers and stuff there. And they thought the stuff was the coolest stuff in the world, and they got me a PO, like, within 2 days for $100,000. And the PO just said, anybody, you know, of these people in these departments can $5,000 at a time, you know, buy this stuff for whatever use that they see fit. That was about 3 years ago, and that PO just expired, and nobody used a penny of it because they just don't understand. They don't. It's new, and they can just, you know, call up the Shot Creek guy and have the guys bring in the chicken wire and spray concrete or you know, put vinyl down, vinyl everywhere, you know, vinyl that rots and is horrible for the environment and, you know, a ton of heat and everything else, just really a bad solution.
Just has to do with money, right? It has to do with money, right? It's just all money.
Well, it's more about a kind of education, I think, just not being familiar, you know, with it. And we've seen this in other parts of the world where it's gone into a marketplace and it's taken a couple, 3-4 years before it starts to really get on the brain. And then it just becomes the product du jour for all sorts of different things. And we're just on the cusp of that. We're just about, you know, we've done about 30 Caltrans installs, and we've done several, like I said, parks. City of Laguna Niguel just won an award for a big project they did up in their hillside trail system that they have for residents.
Listen, what is your biggest pet peeve? What is this all about? What is your pet peeve in this industry? It's a question I'm looking at. I'm going, pet peeve. It must be a trick question.
You mean in concrete cloth, or do you mean just in general?
What is your biggest pet peeve about working in this industry?
Okay, yes, that's the question that Deborah and I came up with back to the first show that we never got to. And it, what it is the lack of any kind of policing. There's no forensic biologists running around or that have any incentive. And we have a lot of people selling a lot of bags of grass seed that are calling them native, and they're not native.
Uh-huh.
They never were native. Uh-huh. They were collected, you know, in Oregon, usually, because there's a lot of seeding going on in Oregon year-round. And then, like, this Carapia. You know, Carapia is a modified Lipia notiflora. Well, you haven't seen Lipia in garden stores for years because it's an invasive plant, a native invasive plant, and you weren't really, no one was selling it for a long, long time. Now you're seeing Lipia crop up in nurseries and stuff, and they're saying just like Carapia or similar to Carapia, or, you know, and it isn't. Lipia is a horrible plant. It's ugly. It seeds twice a year, millions of seeds. It requires at least twice the water Carapia does, doesn't root as deep. You know, when we bred the seeds out, a lot of other beneficial attributes came out of that plant, which is why Carapia is what it is, you know, the amazing, you know, plant that it is. And but there's, you know, I get calls from people all the time. We decided not to buy Carapia. We found it for half the price. And I go, really, where are you buying it from? Oh, local nursery. And I go, oh, could you maybe send me a picture of the, you know, of the display or whatever? And they send a picture, and sure enough, it's Lipia, you know. But you can talk to them and talk to them. They're just going, oh, well, no, this one's 50 cents and that one's a dollar. I'm going to spend the 50 cents because it looks the same. You know, and I don't know. And that's the same thing with the natives, and especially with native seeds. You know, we do native seeds for hydro seeders and stuff. And there is so much deceivery and trickery and fraud in that whole world. It's just
not
crazy.
Not just in your industry, my friend. Not just in your industry.
I know.
You know.
But even if people get caught, it's a slap on the wrist and don't do it again. There's no, you know, penalty phase, really. There's no disincentive. So I understand why people are doing it. I just, my moral compass doesn't allow me to go that way. And,
look,
you know,
this,
what's good is this, good, and what's bad isn't good. And so,
look, this guy, you know, comes up to me the other day and he says, I know who you are. No, wait. So he comes up to me and he says, so you're an organic gardener. Here's a great organic fertilizer you could use. He has a, you know, so he gives me, and I'm looking at it. First ingredient is urea.
Yeah.
And then I said, so I didn't say anything. So I said, how come this isn't OMRI certified? Oh, just too much money, too much time, too much favor. I said, no, it's because you can't use this stuff in the ingredient. The only thing about organic is that it's in the name.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you're the freaking, you know, point to the spear as far as knowledge in that regard. How many homeowners would have gone to that level, you know? You know, and there's the, you know, the commercials about the spray on lawn on TV, you know, the low water fescues and stuff. And really? Well, then you go and you look on the label of that product and it says TBD in terms of what plants are in there. TBD, to be determined. They'll decide when they're shipping it what's going to go in there, and they're sure as hell not going to tell you what it is. Well, if it was really native and it was certified native, they would for sure tell you, because that's a huge thing. You know, it's hard to collect and keep current and everything, you know, native California plants. They don't, you know, necessarily play well. But that's the amazing thing that Delta's done with their native grass sods is they've got a certified program. It's reviewed every year by five major universities and some other testing, you know, people. And I'm just privileged and proud to be, you know, affiliated with them. Because
I like to see it as a lawn myself. I like to experience a Carapia lawn, walk on it, and to take a look and see what it feels like.
Well, I tell you what you can do, Andy. You get in your car and you drive up to Thousand Oaks Mercedes-Benz. Silver Star Mercedes just did Carapia on their whole AMG dealership, the Mercedes dealership, and everything right there off the freeway.
Thousand Oaks. Wait, what's the name of it? Thousand Oaks.
The Thousand Oaks Mercedes-Benz dealership.
What?
The Mercedes-Benz dealership in Thousand Oaks called Silver Star Mercedes.
Silver Star.
Yeah, right in the auto center there.
I want to buy a Mercedes anyway, so I'll go over there and look at the Mercedes.
Well, there you go. There you go. Buy two, actually. Buy one new and one used and help two salesmen feed their family.
But I bet you it must, you know, I tell people, look, you want a green lawn, you know? You want something green? Fine, you know? It doesn't have to be these things. There's lots of things, especially if it doesn't get really tall, you don't have to cut it. And then you have flowers every once in a while. It makes it beautiful. You know, too, and you can run on it up and down all you want to. It isn't going to hurt. And You know, absolutely. This thing about, you know, water and drought and all and fire, duh.
Well, right? Well, and then, I mean, just the absolute, every day, the difference in the temperature in a yard that has a green ground cover, especially a really deep rooting green ground cover,
difference.
Like native grasses or crapia, especially
because
it's so deep. It's unbelievable. It's in the 10, 20, 30 degree difference.
In Camarillo,
in
you would know because it gets to be like 100 degrees up there, 110 sometimes,
we
right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can go out in the yard in the middle of the hottest day and it's cool underfoot under my bare feet.
Right.
You know?
And that's, you know, you try to do that with a lawn.
There's not a lot of them because they only root an inch and a half in the ground. So whatever the temperature is.
And then they water every day. You know, almost every other day.
Because the ground dries out from the heat. Yeah. No, it's all a circle, you know. I mean, if you just think about it, if you were going to design a system that cooled and needed less water and had less dehydration and less dry out, you know, you'd design a system where most of the equipment was underground, right? I mean, that's just what you would do. Well, that's what carapia and the natives do, and that's just because nature's taught them to for millions of years. Get the root system down real deep so the coolness of all that comes up through the plant.
That's the way weeds work. The best weeds have the deepest roots.
Exactly. Yep.
You know? Anyway, listen, Robert, I do. I invite you back on again because this is a lot of fun. You can't come on more often than, say, once every 10 years. No, every. Every month is too much because I'm trying. I want to get not more than one or two guests per month.
Oh no, you'd wear me out with your questions. You're relentless.
Right.
Questions.
What you could do is you can always call and for a few minutes, make a suggestion of something's going on. Is there an event that's going on? Like that.
There
feel free to do that.
All right. I shall do. I will do. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. And you did say you're going to give me a whole bunch of carapia. I heard you on the air. You said that. You said, Andy, come
like
by. I'll give you.
Play back the tape. Could you play back the tape?
Well, I'd like to come pay your visit at your place and walk around and take a look at it. And I'll probably as soon as it's late. I have to find, like I said, the lady in Brentwood. I'll get her to order some carapia because she needs a ground cover real bad. I mean, I put in drill systems and I put stuff in. Now the city is, you know, and over there they're charging like enormous amount for water.
Oh,
you know?
Gosh, yes. And it's terrible water. That's another thing. Crapia works in high pH soils, takes really acidic, terrible water. You can use gray water. You can use, you know, desal water without hardly any filtering. I mean, it's a very, very adaptive. You know, we call it the junkyard of alley dog of plants.
You know, there's a device you can buy now that the cities are selling. It depends on each city. It's a gray water kit that hooks up in the back. You turn it on. Yeah, from the shower. And all that water goes right into your system, which you can then use on your plants. And it's probably going to be too much water, right? You're going to may have to direct it to different parts of the property, right? Because, you know, people take a shower every day.
You got to be careful with, you know, pHs and stuff because, you know, there's a lot of plants that can't take that. And so, you know, and especially if you're using it on vegetables and some fruit trees and stuff.
Exactly,
you're going to end up kind of changing the plant, which you don't, you know, you don't want to do.
Just tell people,
go up and down the 101 freeway. They'll see my native grasses on every ramp, exit ramp at Canaan and at Adobe and at Las Virgenes. And yeah, that's our sod.
Be a millionaire by now.
Oh, at least. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you should be my sponsor.
The money in Venezuelan banks, Andy, is a problem.
I only charge you $10,000 a month to be my sponsor.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. So you're going to be my sponsor, right?
Let me talk to my people and have my people call your people, and then they'll do lunch and we'll see where this goes. But I really appreciate the offer. I can't tell you.
I'll let you know. Deborah will let you know when the show is available for you to download it and use it. You know. And, of course, I put it on my podcast. And Deborah does such a good job. She does it on all my social networks. She's my social lady. So she posts it on Facebook, posts it everywhere. And there's a big following once they figure out I'm here. I think the last show we had close to maybe 2,000 people listening at one time or another through the podcast.
Man,
I think about 400 or 500 people are listening now. So we'll find out.
Tell them all to go to Soils. Soilsolutions.com.
That's why I was going to say that.
Soilsolutions.com.
Soils with an S and solutions with an S. Not soils. So Soilsolutions.com.
Yeah, not soil. Right. Soil Solutions is a company in Kentucky that sells alfalfa for horses. So we're not that company. We're Soils Solutions. Check out our website. There's links all over the place. There's Facebook links. We have hundreds of case studies. And we'd love to chat with people. 805-236-9272 is the direct line in. 805-236-9272.
Tell them Andy sent you. Okay, bye now.
Tell them Andy sent you. All right.
Bye, Robert.
Andy, have a great Saturday. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad somebody remembered. Okay, everybody, we're going to go now. Here's the more of this song. Take care now. You can go to my website, InvisibleGardener.com. If you like the music, the inner gardening music, my book is up there. Take care now. Happy growing. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.